Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Tuesday, November 28th, and the Pistons hit the national scene in a big way on Monday night with a 118-108 victory in Boston against the Celtics, who are now 18-4 and still leading the NBA with the top record in the league. But the Pistons, with the big 10-point win tonight, Andre Drummond with 26 points and 22 rebounds and 6 assists. What a huge game for the big man on the road. And Tobias Harris had 31 points and 8 rebounds. I'm here with my family this week, but was able to snake away for the fourth quarter and hit the bar and watch the Pistons with their biggest win so far this season. Now a win over Golden State, a win over the Clippers, a win over the Oklahoma City Thunder, and a win over the Boston Celtics on the road. So a nice start to the season, obviously, for the Pistons so far. We're 13-6 right now. Kind of a talk of the NBA in some ways. 20 points for Reggie Jackson and 13 for Avery Bradley on the road against his former team. But I think you guys are going to enjoy this episode today as a couple of the friends of the Locked On NBA Network of the reigning Jays, the Locked On Celtics crew of John Corrales and Sam Jam Packard. They helped out as I'm busy this week. They've helped out with sending me their podcast, the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we're going to use it as ours today. So enjoy listening to those guys as they talk about Andre Drummond as being such a big part of what they're trying to figure out as Celtics teams going forward with a big man who's so effective that they got to figure out what to do about it. So enjoy it, Pistons fans. You are a team that an 18-4 team has to figure out what to do against. So that's a good sign. And again, this is Matt Shook, and I'm here in Florida, and I appreciate everyone's patience this week as we are listening to the Locked On Celtics guys who are directing and riding the boat and directing the show this year for the Locked On, or today for the Locked On Pistons podcast. So enjoy, and we'll talk to you soon, everyone.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine Monday through Friday. We are here for you even on the odd time that the Celtics lose a game. The Celtics lost tonight to the Detroit Pistons 118-108. The Boston Celtics in their top-ranked defense gave up 118 points to the Detroit Pistons. Yikes. So we're going to be here to talk about it. John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard, also known as the Reigning Jays. I want to thank you again for being part of us, and thank you for frequenting our sponsor tonight, Greats.com. Greats.com is Brooklyn's first sneaker brand. They're great stuff. Of course, that's their name. And we'll give you 15% off later in the show. That might make you happy after watching the Celtics just get crushed, really, in a lot of ways. Defensively, they had no answers. And Kyrie got stymied. You were there for it, Sam. What did you see?
My biggest takeaway from this game is that Andre Drummond is a monster. Mm-hmm. Like, I had heard the rumblings. I had heard the rumors about him playing with renewed energy. But he was really unstoppable tonight. And it's not just the points that he put up, although he did score 13 in the fourth quarter. And he also had, you know, just finished the game with a casual 20-20, as he's wont to do. But if you were just watching the Celtics defense and trying to prepare for Andre Drummond, he's like a planet out there. There's so much gravity and so much attention the Celtics defense has to pay to him when he's in the game, just in terms of, I was thinking on a number of different possessions, like help defenders in the pick and roll. They're just kind of always have to be aware of him. It opens up lanes for guys like Reggie Jackson, Ish Smith to kind of get to the basket. He's just a very dominant force. And to see him play with this much energy, I don't know what, like, of course, there's things that the Celtics are going to go back and look at and say that they can improve upon. But there's just, he is a physical monster, and the Celtics don't really have an option on their team right now who's built to defend him. And I don't really think the NBA has many people who can just take him out of the game one-on-one. But you saw a lot of times, especially with the Celtics switching a bunch, it's just hard to kind of, there's going to be a bunch of times when you have Smart on him or you have Tatum on him or you have just smaller guys. And it's facing a guy that big with this, the kind of style that the defensive style that the Celtics play, it's not the best matchup for him. So that was my biggest takeaway. It was just, damn, Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Making his free throws too. And with that play at the end of the, where he like pretty much got fouled by Horford and what they didn't call it. And then he just went back up and like went through Horford and scored again. It was damn impressive.
The one thing I think about Drummond tonight is that he didn't, it wasn't that he was posting up or anything like that and just putting on, you know, this clinic. He was just, how many alley-oops did he catch? How many dunks did he have? How many fast break points did he have? I mean, he shot.
He was active.
He was. He was very active. And so, okay, he got had 26 points and 22 rebounds. 20 defensive rebounds. So defensively, he was finishing off possessions for the Pistons. The Celtics, whenever they missed, there was just no opportunity, really, unless he wasn't on the floor, to go out there and get a second chance point or anything. Meanwhile, on the other end, the Celtics had no answers for, first of all, Tobias Harris, who should be recognized for having, he was the team's leading scorer. You know, he was the game.
He carried them in the third quarter. He scored 14 of his points in the third quarter and was like the major reason why they were able to do anything. He was great.
Yeah, he unstoppable. Like Tobias Harris, just 5 of 6 from three. You're talking about two guys for the Pistons that are having kind of like rejuvenated years, and I don't know what it is. I don't know, you want to give Avery Bradley credit for that or what? But they have kind of figured out a couple of things. Harris, it could just be the just natural progression of, okay, Tobias Harris is just getting a little bit better. Incrementally each year getting a little bit better, and now he's gone from good to really good. And Andre Drummond, for whatever reason this year, he's playing better. He's more energetic. And he doesn't look slow. He doesn't look plodding or anything like that. He looks really good, and the Celtics were just inundated with pick and rolls. The play where Avery Bradley started in the corner, came up off a pick, dribble handoff, and then you lose Andre Drummond. It's just alley-oop, you know, bounce pass, all this stuff. The Celtics looked uncharacteristically bad on defense. I don't think that just because Drummond is tall, it made things difficult, because I didn't see his height be any sort of outstanding issue for the Celtics tonight. I just felt like they lost him a lot. And maybe they got caught up in the fact that he's tall and they needed to try to play their defense a little bit differently. But I've never seen the Celtics lose a guy this season as often as they lost him.
Yeah, no, that was a very surprising part. You'd think they would take him, like, really make sure to take him out of the game. But the thing that's, like, difficult about defending Drummond is on the possessions that they didn't lose him, where they kind of paid extra attention to him, it just really opened up this kind of mid-range game. It felt like Avery Bradley, for one, Luke Kennard just, like, randomly knocking down shots. It felt like just when they did sink in a little bit to really try and focus on Drummond, it left open shots, which the Pistons knocked down. I mean, they have a solid lineup around Drummond, and Avery Bradley. It really feels like kind of the perfect guy to come in, and we all know he's great at mid range jump shots or good things he can like catch two dribbles and pull up. So I thought the Pistons did a very good job on offense, and then on defense, we saw a little bit of a different rotation from Brad Stevens tonight, and I thought it was an interesting, especially given our discussion yesterday about what's going to change with the second unit. Because actually, in the first half, the second unit was the main reason why the Celtics were in the game, and we saw Brad Stevens kind of stagger Kyrie and Horford. I think there's only a couple possessions where one of them wasn't on the floor. We saw at the end of the first quarter, start of the second quarter, Brad go with the three-guard lineup of Rozier, Kyrie, and Marcus Smart. And someone, I'm totally blanking on the person who tweeted this at me, but said that's not a three-guard lineup. That's just a two-guard lineup with Marcus Smart as power forward, which is a very good point. But that bench unit with Daniel Tice in there, shouts to Daniel Tice for being very good at rolling to the rim. But that bench unit did a pretty good job. It's just when the starters were in, they were not very efficient at scoring the basketball. Kyrie Irving, you know what? Turns out, surprise to all Celtics fans, Avery Bradley's a pretty good one-on-one defender. And Kyrie had a number of turnovers tonight. It was not Kyrie's best performance. I think he finished with, just trying to look up the stats right now.
I got him right here. 18 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, but 6 turnovers and 5 personal fouls.
And it felt like he was forcing his shots and took some ill-advised threes, in my opinion. And he still had his moments. He's still going to get his buckets because he's Kyrie Irving and he's an amazing basketball player. But it didn't feel like he was comfortable. And without him being the main scorer, the Celtics were doing a decent job in the first half, but just down the stretch, they really couldn't generate points.
Well, let's look at Kyrie's night, because he basically, his second quarter, like you were talking about, because we mentioned it on the show last night, that starting Kyrie in the second quarter might be something the Celtics wanted to toy around with, and they did, and it worked. 6 points, 4 assists, 1 of 3 shooting, basically 1 of 2 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line. So a decent second quarter. And he fed Daniel Tice. Like, of those 4 assists, I think all 3 of Tice's baskets were assisted by Kyrie. So that second quarter aside, Kyrie had a pretty terrible game. I mean, like, his shooting number, 6 of 16 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. The only thing he did fairly well tonight was he had 9 assists and he 5 of 7 from the line. So, yeah, he was frustrated all night, and I think that fourth quarter was especially frustrating for him, where he just looked out of sorts. A very un-Kyrie-like fourth quarter. He missed all 4 of his shots, 1 of 2 from the line, just not comfortable at all. And in any way, there was the inbounds play where he got his 5th foul, where Avery Bradley was just... We use the term up in his jock, but he was almost literally, like, he was face-to-face, like, nose-to-nose with Kyrie Irving, would not let him get free. And the pass was made in to Horford, who didn't feel like he could cross the half-court line, and then Drummond made the steal, and Kyrie had a stupid foul. Like, that was just a stupid foul in that situation, and that was a 3-point play. So Kyrie was out completely out of sorts tonight. Just not himself. Not just, I'm having a bad game. Let me do some other thing. Nothing. By the time this game was over, Avery Bradley had been living rent-free inside Kyrie Irving's head, I think, for a quarter and a half at the very least. And that's going to happen, I guess, when Avery Bradley's defending you.
But that's where you would expect other Celtics to step up. But if you look at that fourth quarter, they only scored 22 points, 9 of which were Marcus Smart three-pointers, which is just it's amazing to see every single time, and it makes me chuckle, and it makes everyone laugh. But without those, they would have scored 13 points, and no other – Jaylen Brown in 8 minutes did not have a field goal attempt in that time. Al Horford only had 1. Tatum was 1 for 2. It's just no other guys on the offense really stepped up in that fourth quarter whatsoever. They couldn't get any great looks. It's not like they were missing the open looks that they had. It's that they weren't really getting the ball side to side. The paint touches were not there for them. So that's going to be a problem. If you're entirely relying on Kyrie Irving to basically score all the points in the fourth quarter, and he's being defended by the best one-on-one guard perimeter defender in the league, yeah, that seems problematic. And I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I feel like they playing through Horford more would make sense against a person like Andre Drummond. Maybe try and draw him out to the 3-point line and get him in space, but. I don't know. It just doesn't. It didn't work out tonight, and I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch this tomorrow, but try and figure out what exactly the Celtics need to do better on offense, because I couldn't figure it out just watching the game alone, but it just didn't feel like they were getting open shots. And maybe that's just the presence of a guy of Drummond's size in the middle. They have some pretty good defenders as well. So I think Stanley Johnson and Tobias Harris are also some of those guys who can switch and give guys defensive problems. And Detroit's just a good team. I think it's a very solid matchup, but there's definitely things Celtics can do better on the offensive end. And if Kyrie's not going to be your go-to scorer, other guys are going to have to step up.
Okay. So offensively, I do think there's something to having a guy like Drummond in the lane. What's odd is that of all the things that Drummond did, 26 points, 22 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, 0 block shots. 0 for him. Which I just find, of all the things that he did in this game, you'd think he might have blocked a shot or two. But he didn't. In fact, the Pistons only blocked a couple of shots, which goes to tell me that what you're saying, there's credence to what you're saying, because the Celtics didn't even drive and give them an attempt to block shots. They settled. They took 77 shots. 33 of them were from three. So they took 33 three-pointers, almost half their offense. And then the rest were, what, long mid-range jumpers that they just weren't falling. And so I don't know. When we look at the problem, I got to watch again. I'm getting stuck on Marcus Morris. I'm getting stuck on Marcus Morris. When he's in the game, they're not moving the ball as much. I feel like we're getting to a point where he gets the ball and he doesn't know where to go with it, or doesn't feel comfortable with where everybody's supposed to be. I mean, I don't even know how many practices he's had since coming to the Celtics, maybe 2. So I can't just totally blame it on him and his style of play, but I just feel like he's so consistently ends up in the negative side of the column that even though he had 13 points on 5 of 11 shooting, it just didn't feel like the offense moved much when he was there. There's one play that I wrote down where Marcus Morris had the ball. The game was tied at 100. And Marcus Smart actually had run one of those picks where he got a guy sealed in the lane. And if you go back to when the game was at 100, Morris had the ball at the top of the key, and it might have been a tough passing angle. I got to watch that again. But it was one of those plays where Smart set a pick and immediately turned and sealed his guy. And we've seen Marcus Smart do that before and get the ball and score. And that right there is an opportunity to completely change the makeup of the game, because it's tied at 100. If Marcus Smart got the ball there and the Celtics went up, that changes every play after that. So we don't know. The Celtics may have still lost. The way this game went, it's hard to imagine scenarios in which the Celtics would have won. But for Morris to miss that play, I felt like that's just... And right afterwards, I kept getting tweets about, why doesn't Marcus Morris pass the ball? I don't know if the...
why is the sky blue?
Yeah. It's just... But... And I know we probably have a lot more Locked On Pistons fans listening to us tonight. I don't know if this is just a case of this is just Marcus Morris just does not pass the ball, but I can't. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't paid that closely attention to him. I could have sworn that he wasn't that big of a black hole, and I don't know if he needs more Celtics, more practices with the Celtics, that when the schedule calms down, this might break a little bit and calm down a little bit, but. I'm just stuck on the fact that when Marcus Morris is in the game, just I don't like the way it feels.
Well, I guess the question in response to that is what is the ulterior solution? Is it more? I mean, Aaron Baines did not play that much many minutes, especially in the second half. Only 5. He played 0 in the fourth quarter. Tice got 5 in the fourth quarter. Is the solution there going a bit bigger, putting Al Horford at the 4 and? Because then you kind of lose the ability to go 5 out, which I think is the Celtics' kind of most dangerous lineup. It's It comes back to Drummond. It feels like you need some sort of other size in there just on the defensive end. So you need someone like Morris. But if you still want to go five out, you're going to have to kind of go with Morris instead of Tice or Baines. Like, ideally, the Celtics' best offensive lineup when going small would be Kyrie, Smart, Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and Horford. But if you have a guy like Drummond just kind of patrolling the paint, is that like a reasonable lineup to put in? It's a real matchup nightmare. I mean, I agree with what you say about Marcus Morris. His passing is not his forte. I mean, ISO Mook is named ISO Mook for a reason. But I think a lot of the guys tonight did not have great games. Jaylen Brown, Jason. I mean, there was some. They all had some moments. Tatum knocked down some nice threes, but in terms of just a total team performance, no one was really able to do much. It felt like the Pistons made a concerted effort to either just get the ball out of Kyrie Irving's hands or just make the life extremely difficult for Kyrie. And you would hope that passing and they would be able to get around that and get open shots. And there were some moments where they were able to hit the roll man, especially when it was Tice. But in terms of just getting paint touches and getting the ball side to side, it was not the best performance from the Celtics tonight because Kyrie was very much stifled. So back to the drawing board. They're playing another very big guy in Joel Embiid, who has a lot of talent on Thursday night. So this is going to be at least they have two nights off, but it's a quick turnaround. It was a very close game when the Celtics played the 76ers earlier in the season, and Embiid was garbage in that game. I remember he was quite drunk or hungover. That was actually the start of the winning streak. But so if they get the Sixers get a decent performance from a big guy like Embiid, who knows? The Celtics could be in trouble because it seems like they have a real problem finding the right lineup to kind of match size and talent.
Well, It's possible that that's the case. I don't want to make these big snap judgments.
What are you talking about? That's what we do.
I know.
It's much more fun to make just hot take reactions and a win about how good the team is. And then when they lose, it feels like kind of a dick move to just make other negative hot takes.
Well, look, they're 18-4 now. So they've only lost four times. And you look at the teams that they've beaten; they have beaten teams with big guys. I mean, to varying abilities, but still, they have beaten teams with size. So I'm not gonna put too much into this loss. It was a great game by the Pistons. That kid in the back is very excited about something, or upset. I don't know. That kid behind
I think he's very excited. I'm near the Celtics family room, so hopefully people are cheery.
I feel like that kid was probably like, oh my God, is that Jam Packard?
I wish someone called me Jam Packard in person. Actually, that happened when I was out on Thanksgiving, the night before Thanksgiving. Someone called me Jam, and it was a very cool moment, but no one in the Celtics facility has ever called me Jam.
Well, we're going to get on that. We've got people saying Tito, so we'll get people saying Jam. I just don't know where – I just don't want to make that big leap that because Andre Drummond is a giant human being who's good at basketball, that he's the reason why and the Celtics are going to face all these tough things and whatever. Let's get some more data. I mean, it's one loss out of 22 games and one loss out of four. So great game for Drummond. Great game for Drummond, no doubt. Great game for Tobias Harris. Great game for Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley's defense on Kyrie, as much as anything, shutting Kyrie down was as big a story as anything here. And it all just kind of flows out of that. How many Kyrie turnovers and even opportunities to get the ball to Kyrie that went awry turned into fast break points, and almost all of those fast break points went to Andre Drummond. So just got to give a shout out. Look, the Pistons did a great job They defended the Celtics pretty well. They defended Kyrie Irving amazingly well. And then a couple of guys had these massive monster games, and the Celtics just didn't get anything. Jason Tatum didn't give him anything special. Jaylen Brown didn't give him anything special. I mean, guys that you would count on didn't give him anything special. Al Horford, 11 points, just 8 shots. You know, he didn't have as big an impact, just 3 assists. So just a bunch of things that didn't work out. Marcus Smart was the one guy who had an above his head kind of game, and that's because he had, of course, Marcus Smart had a 6-of-9 from 3 game after all the shit that we've been talking about his shooting. So whatever. Well, we're moving on. We're on to Philadelphia.
That we are. I got nothing else. No more takes. I'm take free right now.
All right, let me bust through some tweets. Let's do that. So at Donald Scropeberg, at Scropeberg. Remember when we poo-pooed the possibility of getting Drummond? Yeah, I remember when we poo-pooed the possibility of getting Drummond. And
I do. But I'm just I'm saying that now because he played real well. But I don't really remember him ever being an actual target.
I think there was a time last year, especially where the Pistons were struggling, and it was like, all right, time to make a move here. And nobody was making a move on Drummond. And I still don't think anybody makes a move on Drummond. He had an awesome game. And he's had
an awesome year so far.
So far, yeah, that's great. Like, that's fine, but he makes, how much money does he make now? He makes like upwards of 20 million? Is he making 20 million?
It's definitely in the millions, if I had to guess.
He is making millions. it's up above, last season he made 22 million. So he's big money. He's big money for a long time, and I still, like, he had a great game. His numbers this season are pretty good. He's rebounding like crazy, but are you really going to pay $22 million, 20 plus million, more than that, for Drummond now? No. Still, even after that game, no. I'm still not going to do it. So, although Scropeberg added, he really could have helped our free throw percentage, though, which he could have. It's odd. Ron Rosales at Muddy Mouse 235. I don't think it's a coincidence that 2 losses after the winning streak came at the hands of teams with former Celtics. They look so much more prepared for us. And I guess it's the Kelly Olynyk-led Miami Heat and Avery Bradley with the Pistons. I don't know. Do we think that they... I don't think that their knowledge... I mean, yeah, they... Kelly and I'm sure Avery know stuff that Brad's trying to do, but there's only 3 guys left from that, 4 guys from that team that they knew last year. I'm sure there are new wrinkles.
No, I'm gonna give credit to Brad on this one, that he is such a good teacher that his disciples have learned so much from him, even so much that they've learned how to stop him, although that would make Brad weaker in the long run. So I'm going to retract everything I just said. I don't know if that's actually true, but I think, like, there's like the premise isn't that sweaty. Like, it makes sense that if Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley like know the general design or what the concepts Brad's trying to get across with his offense, but I don't think that's like the sole reason the Celtics lost those 2 games. I don't think they're just like exclusively going to lose to team with former Brad Stevens players. That's a bit absurd, but sure. I like connecting the dots is always fun. Away, Ron Rosales.
Sure. At Robert Denton, it's all about the turnovers and free throw percentage. I don't think Detroit can shoot that well in many more games against us. Glad Bradley had a good debut. I guess a good debut in his return to the Celtics. I mean, look, they did shoot amazingly well, 52%, 44% from 3. I mean, like we said before, Tobias Harris was a monster. Bradley had a decent game. Reggie Jackson. We haven't even mentioned Reggie Jackson, who had 20 points and 7 assists. Quietly, Reggie Jackson is having a year, I think. I think Reggie Jackson is playing a lot better than he has in the past, and not as Reggie Jackson-ish. Like, he would have been much less efficient if this was last year's Reggie Jackson.
Oh, yeah, he would have taken a lot of dumb shots, and his teammates would have hated him, as they did last year. But no, it felt like he was very good at attacking the rim, or just probing the defense. It's interesting just watching the Pistons guards play with a man like Drummond, because you just see them trying to engage the big defender on pick and rolls and just trying to pull that guy away so they can eventually get it to Drummond. It's like, it just feels like there's a lot of more open space for them to work because the defender is more likely to cling. And I thought Reggie Jackson did a pretty good job. And then traditional Celtics killer Ish Smith, of course, threw in his 8 points in the second half. That's just what Ish Smith does.
Sure, of course. Mike Hynek, did the Pistons perform a crazy basketball god sacrifice that transferred Drummond's free throw ability to the Celtics? Yeah, one of those like Disney movies, pissing into the fountain when lightning strikes and all of a sudden your free throw ability switches. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe they put Drummond's free throw shooting ability into Marcus Morris's like travel bag, and it just exploded in the Celtics locker room, and now they suck at free throws.
I'm pretty sure that's the plot to Space Jam. So, and Drummond performed like a monstar. That was my first thing I said in this podcast. So I didn't even think like the Celtics free throw shooting was that bad, but now I'm going back and looking at the stats, and it is in fact not good.
It was not good. Not good. 12 of 21 is not good.
That's Andre Drummond levels.
Yes, yes. You can't shoot 57% from the line. And, you know, it's funny because it all adds up. Like, okay, Smart had this weird game where Smart usually hits his free throws and misses his threes. Well, today he hit his threes and missed his free throws. So Smart was 1 of 4 from the line. But, you know, Morris missed one. Jaylen Brown missed both of his, which is not good. He struggles from the line.
He's not good at that.
No, it's weird. It's weird. But, like, okay, Kyrie was 5 of 7. Yeah, that's not bad. Daniel Tice was 4 of 5, you know. But it all adds up to 57%. You're like, oh, yeah, they didn't make their free throws. But it's weird. I don't know. I don't know what the hell is up with Jaylen Brown. Because his numbers, I got to look up his splits as we're talking, because the home road splits seem like they're kind of it's off. But
skewed in which direction? Worse at home or worse at the road?
Well, here it is. No, it doesn't make any sense. His home free throw shooting percentage coming into this game was 76%, 76.5%, and his road free throw percentage was 48.9. So,
yikes.
Yeah, that's not good. His 3-point percentage is much better at home. He just had a bad night. His offensive rating at home is 112. On the road, it's 96. Defensive rating at home is 98, and on the road, it's 100. So just the shooting, I guess the advanced numbers a little bit kind of show that he shoots mostly better at home, but that doesn't explain his 0 for 2 and his 4 of 10 overall shooting tonight. So never mind. I'm not going to edit that out because it's a little exploration down the box scores and his numbers, but we'll have to look into that a little bit more as the season progresses and whether those home road splits hold up. Any junk drawer stuff tonight?
Junk drawer is practically bare. I thought it was funny at the start where they did like the thing to Avery Bradley where they just didn't turn the lights on in the gym, and so it was just like very dark, and they were like had the camera on him, and it was just an odd moment of staging. I think all the fans at home need to know about this thing they do in between quarters. It's called Kid Picasso, where they have a kid draw a member of the Celtics, and then they have the Celtics try to guess who it is, and it is hilarious. And let me tell you, star of it every single time is Tito Three Sticks. That guy's a charmer. He's hilarious. So I think I'm trying to work with the Celtics. We're going to try and get like a 6-episode development deal in place, because Kid Picasso starring Tito Three Sticks is going to be a huge, huge with the children. And then other than that, let me tell you, I got nothing. There's the junk drawer. When it's like a close game, and especially when the Celtics end up losing, the chances of me noticing random whimsical shit is goes down. It's... So, oh, the last thing is Marcus Smart when he when he's the defender on a and he gets screened. He does this just really cool spin move to get around to like pick up the roll man, and I've never seen anyone else in the NBA do it. But he's just like, it's his go-to move. So I just watch out for that because that's a cool move.
Okay, well, watch out for that. One final note before we wrap this up: the Celtics have broken their record for number of threes in a month. So I believe that. It was the record was 170, and I believe they're up to 176 for threes in a month. And there's still time to add to that. Just amazing that what the Celtics are, just where the NBA is. There was a play in the third quarter where there was a fast break, and Jason Tatum, and I tweeted, I made a joke about it, but. Once upon a time, in a fast break, guys would run to the rim, and Jason Tatum just ran to a corner and got an uncontested three, which is what people do nowadays. That's exactly how an NBA fast break should be run. But once upon a time, guys would get benched for doing that. So Celtics are jacking up a ton of threes. They've hit more threes in a single month than they ever have before. So there's a stat for you. It's a stat, and I have it, and it's for you. So.
Oh, I got one more junk drawer that I just remembered. I'm sorry to do this, but I was on the ninth floor in the balcony level, and at some point there was like six calls in a row against the Celtics, and some fan heckled, "Cyber Monday sale on whistles," and I was like, boom, roasted. That's a good roast from the balcony. So shouts to that guy for being creative and timely with the Cyber Monday reference.
That's fantastic. I love good topical basketball humor. Celtics dropped this one to the Detroit Pistons, 118-108, to fall to 18-4. Still the best record in the league, but Detroit still hanging around. Celtics now have 2 days off, which is crazy. They actually will get a practice in at some point before they play the 76ers. Two games, 2 days off? Holy shit, that's new. We'll see what happens then. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. If you're a subscriber, be sure to rate us 5 stars. Let everybody know that give us a good review. Let everybody know that they should be listening to us. If you're not a subscriber, go ahead, hit that subscribe button wherever you find your podcast. Search for Locked On Celtics. And of course, be a dear and frequent our sponsors because they support us, and that would really be a great help to have them know that our listeners are checking out their stuff and purchasing. That's just a little way to help us out. So we'll be back tomorrow night. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.